Okay, it was Friday night by the Baal Shem Tov, by the Shabbos meal. And the Talmidim are eating together with the Baal Shem Tov. All of a sudden, they see the Rebbe with a big, big smile on his face. Now, apparently, this is a special thing to see all of a sudden such a big smile. And everybody wondered, why is the Baal Shem Tov smiling? In Kinelach, by a regular person, if they're smiling, you know, they see something funny, or maybe somebody said something funny, or whatever. The Talmidim know that if the Baal Shem Tov is smiling, of course it could be something that's happening right there in the room. It could be a thing 1,000 miles away that's also happening, Kinelach. Or it could be a thing that's up in the Himmel that's happening. Because where can a tzaddik see? A regular person, you could see in the room, maybe you could see out the window, you could see down the street, you could see out the other window, up to the ceiling, on the floor, whatever is there that your eyes could see, you could see. Where can a tzaddik see? Come here, Yossel, tell us. Where do the eyes of a tzaddik see?
The whole world.
They could see the whole world. Not only they could see from this end of the world to the other end of the world, they can see up in the Shemayim. Or they can see something that's going to happen later. Or they can see something that maybe happened 1,000 years ago. Or maybe everything at one time. You know, our eyes see because of light. In other words, look. Over there is a picture hanging on the wall, right? Let's say the picture of ER. You see the picture of ER? There's a Lag BaOmer fire, there's a rainbow, there's a sphere of chart, there's a bow and arrow. Now, Kinelach, our eyes are here. The picture is over there. Let's pretend the room is completely dark. Our eyes are here, the picture is still there. We do not see the picture. We put on the light. Our eyes are the same place. The picture is the same place. How come now we can see the picture? How come all of a sudden now we can see the picture? What's different now? It's the same picture, the same pair of eyes.
Because it's lighter then.
The light, Kinelach, is able to show us the picture. As we see the light that is bouncing off the picture and it goes into our eyes. The light shows us the picture. Now, our eyes have that kind of a light. What kind of light do the Baal Shem Tov's eyes have, or a tzaddik's eyes have? And of course, we know there's the eyes of the head and the eyes of the neshama. We have a regular light, the light in the room or the light of the sun. What kind of light did the Baal Shem Tov have? The light of?
When Hashem made the world, he made a special light and he put it in the Torah.
Very good. So Kinelach, the Talmidim know that the Baal Shem Tov maybe sees something. It could be the other end of the world or the other end of the Shemayim or the other end of time. Who knows? And they wondered, why is the Baal Shem Tov with a big smile? And about 20 minutes later, during the meal, all of a sudden, a big smile a second time. Ooh, they're wondering what's going on. They'd love to find out. They're so curious. And then, about a half an hour later, all of a sudden, another very big smile. And a faraway look in the eyes of the Baal Shem Tov. Oy, the Talmidim is so curious, they'd love to find out. After the Seuda, they made a meeting of the Talmidim and the Baal Shem Tov. The Chevraya Kedisha, they were called. The Helika Talmidim and the Baal Shem Tov. And they decided that right after Shabbos, after Havdalah, the meaning of the Baal Shem Tov was that he goes into his room and he lights up a pipe. And he smokes a pipe. Kinelach, If a regular person smokes, we know that, especially nowadays, you know, it's not a good thing to smoke. One thing we know, Kinalach, that whatever a tzaddik did or does is a thing of serving Hashem. Now, the Baal Shem Tov smokes a pipe. It's not just because he wants to enjoy himself and smoke. In fact, it's the Baal Shem Tov that said that smoking is a taiva. In other words, at first, when a person smokes, they're curious. And then they get some kind of a taste from it. Then it becomes some kind of a taiva that no matter how much you do, you're not going to be really happy from it until you do more. And it's called like a circle that goes round and around. He smokes, and he feels okay for a while, and he wants to smoke again. And he's going to smoke more, and he's going to smoke more. And certain things are like that. It's better not to do it at all. Okay? So in other words, it's better not to smoke at all, especially cigarettes. This is not a good thing. And pipes, I don't know how good they are. But we know if it's tzaddik, in its story, it says that the tzaddik smoked a pipe, the Baal Shem Tov smoked a pipe. It's a thing of serving Hashem. It's not just to feel good and to taste good. And they had some kind of a kavana to do it. The Baal Shem Tov goes and smokes the pipe. And Moshe Shabbos is a very special time by the Baal Shem Tov. Of course, every time is special by a tzaddik, but there's a certain special kind of a very quiet time. And they said that Reb Zev Kitsis, one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, he should go in and ask the Baal Shem Tov why he was smiling on a Friday night by the Shabbos meal three times. And so Kinalach, right after Havdalah, the Baal Shem Tov goes into his room and he lights up the pipe. And Reb Zev Kitsis, he goes in and asks the Baal Shem Tov, Rebbe, all the Talmidim are wondering and curious, and maybe you would please tell us, if you wish to, why you were smiling three times Friday night. And the Baal Shem Tov says, oh, you want to know? I'll tell you. Rather than me telling you, why don't you see for yourself? Okay? He calls for the wagon driver, get the wagon, and we're going on a trip. And all the Talmidim can come if they want. Ooh, oh boy. All the Talmidim got ready, and they all went on the trip together with the Baal Shem Tov. They went to the town of Koznitz. And they went to the house of the Parnas Chodesh. You remember from other stories, there's a person that's in charge of the tzedakah, in charge of the money of the town, that goes for all kinds of different things, and this is called the Parnas Chodesh. They go to the Parnas Chodesh, they knock on the door, the Baal Shem Tov said, please, we'd like to come in, and we'd like to meet with somebody in your town named Reb Shabsi, the bookbinder. Reb Shabsi, who puts together Sfarim and fixes old Sfarim, you know, like in the shul, sometimes you see new Sfarim. Sometimes you see a sefer is falling apart. Only the outside is falling apart. The inside is good. So they get a special man that he puts a new cover on it and he fixes the pages and he sews it back together. That's called a bookbinder. Reb Shabsi was the bookbinder in Koznitz. And the Baal Shem Tov asked to see Reb Shabsi, and he says, I'd also like to see Reb Shabsi's wife. Please ask them both to come. And the Parnas Chodesh was very surprised. He knows the Baal Shem Tov is a Halakha Tzaddik. And he says, Rebbe, Reb Shabsi is just a very plain, simple Jew. Are you sure you want to see this Reb Shabsi? There's another Reb Shabsi in the town who's a big Talmud Chacham. Maybe you want to see him? No. I'm sure he's a fine Jew also. I want to see Reb Shabsi, the bookbinder, and I also want to see Mrs. Reb Shabsi, his wife. Please ask them both to come. And Kinalach, they sent for Reb Shabsi and his wife to come, and they told him the Baal Shem Tov is waiting in the house of the Parnas Chodesh. And Reb Shabzi and his wife came. Older people, Reb Shabzi was shaking. He was afraid. Rebbe, what did I do wrong? Did I do something wrong? Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do to fix it. Maybe I have to do tshuva on something I did wrong. He was afraid that he did something wrong. Maybe the Baal Shem Tov is calling him to tell him off that he did something wrong. And the Baal Shem Tov says, Reb Shabzi, don't worry about anything. What I would like to hear from you, if you could please tell me in front of my Talmidim here, what happened on Friday night. Please tell everything and don't leave everything out. Reb Shabzi started to cry. Oh, if I did something wrong, Rebbe, I'll do tshuva. No, you didn't do anything wrong. Just tell us exactly what happened. And Reb Shabzi starts to speak, and he's telling over what he did Friday night. Reb Shabzi said like this. He says, Rebbe, as you know, I'm a bookbinder. If people bring me old books, I fix them, put them back together again with new covers. Years ago, when I was younger, I used to have a pile of books that people brought me all the time. I had plenty of work. I did it fast. I did it good. And from shuls and people's own sfarim and different things all around, they would bring me to fix, and I would do a big business, and Baruch Hashem, I made enough money that we were not rich, but we lived. We had everything we needed. We could pay for all the things that we needed. But then as I got older, and I wasn't able to work so quickly, and I wasn't so strong, it took me longer to do the same work. I still did good work. It took me longer. I was slower. And, of course, there were other people that were younger than me that were doing the same thing. And I had a little pile of books every week to work with, and I made less money. And sometimes I only had a few books to fix, and I made very little money. Until last week, I didn't even have one sefer to put together and to fix. I had no work. And I used to save, of course, money for Shabbos and for Yontif. And we used to make a very nice Shabbos. This week, we only had barely enough money from last week to buy bread and beans. We had nothing for Shabbos. By the time Erev Shabbos came, we didn't even have a penny. We had nothing at all for Shabbos. And my wife said, what should we do? Maybe I should go to the neighbors and borrow money or borrow food? And Reb Shabbos, he said to his wife, no. He's saying this over in front of the Baal Shem Tov. Reb Shabbos, he's saying this over. He said, I told my wife, we've never borrowed money before. I don't want that we should have to borrow money, because then our neighbors are going to feel sorry for us, and they're not going to just lend us the money. They're going to give us things, and we're going to feel like, you know, we're going to feel very bad that we don't have, and they're all giving all these things to us. We'll be very embarrassed. We've never borrowed before. I'm so uncomfortable to borrow and let everybody know we don't have any money. You know what? Better we should fast the whole Shabbos. We should have nothing to eat or drink. Then we should borrow and have everybody feel sorry for us. So don't go to the neighbors. Don't borrow anything. We've always relied on Hashem and not people. And let's go on doing it that way. He said to his wife, that's it. I'm going to shul. He says, I went to shul for Shabbos. I left early to get ready, to go to the mikveh, to do different things that I say, that I learn. And I went to the shul. And Kenelach, after the davening, this is what Reb Shabbos is saying on Friday night, when everybody said good Shabbos and they're going home to have their Sudas Shabbos, their Shabbos meal, Reb Shabzi stayed later in shul. He learned. He said Tehillim. He said different things that people say on Shabbos. And he went home, the last one, very, very late. Because he would be embarrassed if he's going to walk home with other people. They're going to see in his house there's no lights burning. They didn't have money for candles and for lights. I don't even know what they did about Shabbos candles at all. But they certainly had no extra lights burning in their house. People are going to see a dark house. They're going to say, what's going on? He didn't want to have to answer them and start explaining. So he decided he's going to go home very, very late. There's nothing to eat anyway. He stayed in shul very late. Finally, he goes home. He comes on the block of his house, and he comes close to his house. The first thing he sees all of a sudden, it's lit up with candles. How come my house is lit up with candles? What's going on over here? Maybe it's the wrong house. Maybe a house is on fire. I don't know. No, it's the right house. It's lit up with beautiful candles. Hey, wait a minute. Something is weird. Something is wrong. Then he goes in through the doorway of the house, and the first thing, his nose smells delicious smells. Hoy, it smells like challah. It smells like fishy. It smells like chicken soup. It smells like kugel, like chicken, like delicious smells. Oy vey, he started to get very upset. My wife must have borrowed money. She probably couldn't stand the feeling of not having food for Shabbos. And she probably broke down and went to the neighbors. That's exactly what I told her not to do. And he started getting very upset. But of course, with Shabbos, he knows there's a mitzvah of Shalom Bayis. You know what Shalom Bayis is? Well, if he's going to start Chas Shalom saying things to his wife, being very upset, then there might be a fight. And that's for sure not Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis means when there is peace in the house. And the mommy and the tati, the husband and the wife, are getting along nicely. And sometimes a person feels like saying something and he knows that if he says it, he's going to let out some anger and it might start a very bad feeling. The best thing is, don't say it at all. Sometimes it's best not to say something to avoid an argument and a bad feeling. So for the purpose of Shalom Bayis, Reb Shabsky said, I'm not going to say anything to my wife, even though I feel, how does she get all this money? She must have borrowed it. But I don't want there to be, Chas Shalom, a fight. It's Shabbos. And he saw his wife over there, Kidalach. His wife was smiling. She was so excited. Well, Reb Shabbos, he didn't say anything. He's saying Shalom Aleichem. And he got ready for Kiddush. Now, he thought, of course, they wouldn't even make Kiddush on that Shabbos. He saw a beautiful bottle of wine on the table. And not only the wine they usually bought when they hardly had any money, that was almost like vinegar, but it was a wine that was a beautiful, good, delicious wine, an expensive wine. In fact, he can't even remember the last time he even saw that wine. And he made kiddush on the delicious wine. And then he went to wash, and he saw beautiful challahs, freshly baked challahs, with extra sugar in them and extra eggs. Oy, oy, oy. And then his wife came out with delicious fish and he starts eating the fish. And Kenelach, after a few bites, he couldn't eat anymore. And Reb Shabsky says to his wife, I guess you couldn't stand it, right? So I guess you had to go borrow money. And all of a sudden his wife got excited. Shabsky, do you remember do you remember the white dress that I wore under the chuppah? Do you remember that dress? All of a sudden, Reb Shabsky is trying to remember a dress. He's eating a piece of fish and he has to remember a silk dress that she wore, a white dress she wore, how many years ago? Well, what are you talking now about a dress? I'm trying to ask you about, did you borrow money? You told me about a dress. She says, Shabsky, I'll tell you what happened today. Please listen. I'm in the house. I have nothing to cook. Not even a potato to peel. Nothing to bake. Nothing to boil. I said, what am I doing in the kitchen? There's nothing to do here. What'll I do to get ready for Shabbos? Usually I get ready for Shabbos by cooking. What'll I do now? She says, the only thing I can do, Lakavod Shabbos, to do something to get ready for Shabbos, I'll clean the house. There's some things in the house. I'll clean it. I'll go to the closet. I'll clean the closet. She goes into the closet and she starts to clean. She starts to put things, you know, straighten things out. All of a sudden, in the end of the closet, she sees the old white dress that was hanging there for so many years. That was her wedding dress. And that she wore other times for something that they had to get dressed up in. And now it was old and she hadn't worn it for so many years because you couldn't wear it anymore. And all of a sudden, she saw on the sleeve silver buttons. It had silver buttons. And she says, "Oi, look, the dress I can't wear, but the silver buttons are still beautiful." She right away went and took off the buttons. And she ran to the silver man. The silversmith, he's called. He makes things out of silver, like, you know, like leichter for Shabbos and bechers and things out of silver. And she shows him, "Look, silver buttons. Would you like to buy them?" He says, "Ooh, very nice. They're worth money. And he gave me enough money to buy a whole Shabbos and even have left over for next week. So see, I didn't borrow the money at all. I found something in the house that we didn't even know we had, we forgot about, and from this came all the money from..." "And from this came all the money for all the nice things for Shabbos." And Kenelech, all of a sudden, Reb Shabsi, he got so excited that Hashem had helped in such a wonderful, unexpected way, and that his wife had not, chas v'shalom, gone to borrow the money and caused them to be embarrassed. He couldn't hold back how happy he was, and he got up and he started dancing and singing all around the table, all around the house. He said, "Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem." And his wife, Kinalach, when she saw her husband, and of course she heard what he said, and she knew that Hashem had helped in such a wonderful way, she got up also and started to sing and dance all around the house and dance around. And Kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov, and his Talmidim are listening. And he said, "We danced and we sang. We were so happy." This was after the fish. "Then we had hot, delicious chicken soup." And Reb Shabsi continues and he says, "And after the delicious hot chicken soup, again, I just felt so happy and thankful to Hashem that he had provided for us and that my wife was such a good woman. And I got up and I just got up and started singing and dancing again. I couldn't hold back. And I danced around the whole house. And my wife was also dancing all around the whole house. We were just dancing around and singing, so happy, clapping and jumping. And then we sat down and ate the rest of the suda, the rest of the meal. And after a delicious dessert, I got up and started jumping and singing and dancing and shouting, and my wife also did. And that's what we did Friday night." And the Baal Shem Tov, Kinalach, smiled and he says to his Talmidim, "Now you were wondering, of course, why I smiled three times, and now I'm going to explain. At the same time that Reb Shabsi and his wife were singing and dancing and happy, happy with Hashem, the Malachim were also watching. And they were also singing and dancing and making a big simcha in the Himmel three times. And there was such a simcha going on in the Himmel and in the world." And the Baal Shem Tov could, of course, see all of these things. So the Baal Shem Tov saw it and he was smiling and he was happy three times. And he turned to Reb Shabsi's wife and he says, "From all of this simcha, for you comes a bracha, and you have a choice. Either you can spend the rest of your life to have an easy, rich life, a wealthy life without any cares, and Hashem will bench you to be rich people. Or else you won't have that bracha, but you'll have a baby boy." And all of a sudden, Reb Shabsi's wife got so excited because, Kinalach, they had no children, and they were older people. She says, "Who cares about living a life with money and having everything you need? If we could have a baby, that would be the most wonderful dream come true that we could ever have." And Kinalach, of course, they chose to have the baby. And the Baal Shem Tov says, in a year, you're going to have a baby boy, but please invite me to the bris, that I want to be the tzaddik. And also you should give him the name, just like my name, Yisrael. And I want to be by his bris. I want to be the tzaddik. It so happened, in a year, they had a baby boy. They named him Yisrael. Oh, and the Baal Shem Tov also said to the Reb Shabsi and his wife, that this little baby will grow up to be somebody that you're going to be very, very proud of, and is going to give you a lot of nachas, and give Hashem a lot of special nachas. And so it happened. They had the baby. In a year, they had a little baby boy. They named him Yisrael. And the Baal Shem Tov was the tzaddik by the bris. And he grew up to be the Koznitzer. He grew up to be the Magid of Koznitz. The Koznitzer Magid, who was a very, very big tzaddik. The Koznitzer Magid. Many years ago, there was a very great tzaddik, and his name was Reb Tarfoin. His name is all over in the Gemara. Rabbi Tarfoin. Rabbi Tarfoin had a very old mother, and she was very sick. She was so shvach, she could hardly even climb out of her bed. Rabbi Tarfoin's servants and his Talmidim, they could have helped the old mommy. They wanted to help her. After all, it's Rabbi Tarfoin's mother. They want to help her. But Rabbi Tarfoin would not even let them. He wanted to do it himself because it's a mitzvah that he should have respect and honor for his mother and his father. He didn't even want to make them shluchim. He wanted to do it himself. When his mother wanted to get out of bed or into bed, he himself hurried to be there to help her. What did he do? He bent down on the floor. He made himself like a step. She stepped on his back and she stepped onto the bed. Or if she came out of the bed, he also got down on his hands and knees. He made himself to be like a step. And she stepped on his back and she came down. One Shabbos, after Kiddush, after they ate the Suda, Rabbi Tarfoin's mother said she's feeling a little bit better. And she called Rabbi Tarfoin and she said, I would like to take a short walk in the yard, because after all, I feel better. It'd be nice to go out and get some air. And Rabbi Tarfoin was very, very happy that his mother was feeling good enough to go out for a walk because she was indoors for so long. And they went outside and the mother enjoyed the nice fresh air on Shabbos. And she was in the sun and she smelled the flowers and she saw the birdies and she listened to the birdies singing. And it was so nice. But in the middle of the walk, all of a sudden, the strap on her sandal tore, and her sandal fell off. A sandal is a kind of a shoe. And Rabbi Tarfoin was very upset. He says, Oy vey, my mother cannot walk without her sandal, but we can't fix it on Shabbos. Not allowed to fix it on Shabbos. How will she get home? She can't walk barefoot. Because she's so old and she's so weak that if she's going to walk on the ground barefoot, she can catch a cold. All of a sudden, he got an idea. He bent down on the ground, he stretched out his hands, and he put his hands on the ground under his mother's foot and made a shoe out of his hands. Instead of her foot being on the cold ground, it was on his hands, and his hands were like a shoe. She started to walk. Each time she took another step, he moved his hands that she should step on his hands
and not on the ground. And all the way back home, she used his hands to be a shoe on that foot. And when she arrived home, she laid herself down to rest. After that, sometime later, Rabbi Tarfain also wasn't feeling well. And he had to stay in, and he was sick. His friends came, other great tzaddikim, and they said they wanted to visit him. His old mother said, "Please say a tefillah for my son Rabbi Tarfain, because he gives me too much respect." And the friends of Rabbi Tarfain said, "What do you mean he gives you too much respect?" And the old mother told the story of when her sandal tore on Shabbos, what her son did. And the Rebbes heard the story and they said, "That was really a big mitzvah of chesed, of kindness. But even if he had done 1,000 times more than that, he still would have not done the mitzvah of kibud av.